The scripture today is from Isaiah 50th chapter, verses 4 through 9a. The Lord God has given me a trained tongue, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand in court together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up.
This morning's New Testament scripture is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, and that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of this book. Did Jesus go to the cross forced to? Do you think Jesus could have at any point stopped this process that he went through that we're going to commemorate this week? I think it's good to commemorate these things. As I said, I don't know exactly what day this all happened. It's not going to be necessarily an anniversary, although we kind of tend to know when Passover takes place, and we know how the calendar was and the part of the year it was. But I can't come up to you and say, there's the anniversary of Jesus' death, except that it happened on a Friday, that his Last Supper happened on a Thursday. I can tell you that. And I can tell you that on a Sunday, he rose again. And then on the Sunday before, he rode into town triumphantly, as had been prophesied in some of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. But could he have stopped it if he wanted to? I want to celebrate what I believe was his choice to die for us. And I want to talk to you about somebody else who made a similar choice that you may have heard of. His name is Maximilian Kolbe. And if Greg could put up his photo, he was born in 1894. And in his early childhood, he had a dream. He was Catholic. He was on his way to becoming a priest and a monk. And, you know, as a Catholic might, he had a dream of Mary, Mother of Jesus, showing up to him. And she said this, he said this. That night, I asked the Mother of God what was to become of me, a child of faith. And then she came to me holding two crowns, one white and one red. And she asked me if I was willing to accept either of these crowns. The white one meant that I should persevere in purity. And the red meant that I should become a martyr. I said I'd accept them both. And so that was the end of his dream. He, as I said, he grew up, became a priest, he became a monk, he lived in a monastery, he was Polish, he was in Poland. And, you know, before I go any further in his life, you know, I'm not proclaiming Mary as a deity. It's one of the areas of Catholic theology that I dispute. I don't see her as an intercessor between ourselves and God. But she did live an exemplary life, and scriptures promised that she would be blessed among women. And to a Catholic boy like him, she represented God telling him something. And so that's how he looked upon this message that he received. That it's not so much Mary necessarily, but God's self asking whether he would be willing to accept a white crown of purity or a red crown of martyrdom. And he vowed that he'd be either one. And that all came to fruition 30 years later, when the Germans invaded Poland, his homeland. Hitler had the Gestapo round up every one of the Jews, as many as possible, and any detractors, as many detractors as possible. And he convinced his monastic community that they ought to hide people there. And so they hid within that community something like 3,000 people. Half of them were Jews. The other half were dissidents. Once it was found out, he was arrested, and he was taken to Auschwitz. And, you know, as a priest, he found ministries there to the people, the suffering people around him, and he was very gracious to them and served them and cared for them. But then one day, a Polish man named Franciszek Gajanuszek, I knew I would have a problem saying this name. I've practiced it more times than you can imagine. Franciszek Gajanuszek. He said, "Don't kill me, I've got a wife, I've got a family, I've got children." And Father Kolbe made an offer to the tormentors. "Let me die in his place." They took him up on the offer. And surprisingly, this man whose name I can't pronounce, Franciszek Gajanuszek, survived Auschwitz all the way to the end. When they opened it up and freed the prisoners, he was among the freed. He lived. And he lived for another 50 years beyond that. And he went around telling everybody what this Maximilian Kolbe had done for him. He died in his place. And for that, he is now considered by the Catholic Church. Another thing I might dispute, he's a saint. Well, of course, you know he's a saint. He lived for Jesus and he died for others. He's a saint in anybody's book. He's officially a saint in the Catholic Church. And Gajanuszek was there when he was canonized. And that all involved a choice on his part. Had God spoken to him as a young man, and then he decided that he was going to reject that? I mean, maybe he'd say, "Oh, sure, I'll do whatever you ask." And then when he got to crunch time, when it came time to die, as God was asking, he could have very easily said, "Well, that was then, this is now." But instead, he was willing to give up his life for another person to become a martyr. And if that had happened, we wouldn't be talking about him today. He'd be just one of many unheralded priests out there who lived and died. very exemplary life, but he just would have been missing that dimension of willingness to die for somebody else. And as I say all this, I want to warn us against the dangers of false martyrdom. If you're in an abusive situation, you don't have to be the abuser's martyr. If you're in any kind of a bad life situation, there's no dignity in dying for the cause. If you don't like your life, suicide is never the answer. So I'm trying to be clear here what constitutes martyrdom. Martyrdom is giving up what you have for someone else. And when God leads us, and only when God leads us, it's a glorious choice. They say that the church is built, is grown by the seeds planted in the blood of martyrs. And today's scripture, written by Paul, alludes to another person making a similar choice. And it alludes to Jesus in the garden, specifically. Take some time and just read Jesus in the garden. And different accounts of how that goes for him. I find it interesting that we know what Jesus was saying as the disciples fall asleep every time. So I don't know how it gets recorded that Jesus said these things. Except that perhaps they were so tired that they saw him say these things and still fell asleep anyway, even as he sweat so bad that the sweat pouring off of his face was like drops of blood falling to the ground. As he agonized over this choice that he was having to make, that I'm going to have to die, and I'm going to have to suffer for the sins of humanity. That God is asking me to do this, and he treated it like a bitter cup that he was going to have to drink. And he said, well, not my will, but yours. And so he gives in. That's where we know he had a choice. He was given an opportunity to walk away. But he chose to accept it. And as the scriptures here says, as Paul recognized it, though he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. And this is the point. I've said that Jesus is fully God and fully human. And you can say that his whole purpose was to be born so that he would die on the cross for the sins of humanity. But without this one choice, it's not a true sacrifice. It just doesn't happen that way. It doesn't have its meaning. Jesus had a choice to either follow God or go his own way. Over 30 years ago, Martin Scorsese made a film, The Last Temptation of Christ, and all the Christians were so mad at this movie, furious. It depicted Jesus up on the cross, deciding to accept a rescue and get down from the cross. And he goes, he sees an angel that comes to rescue him. And so he takes the offer of the angel. And he comes down from the cross. He gets married. He has kids. He leads a normal life. And it's a good, exemplary life. And he's doing everything he's supposed to do. And then comes the end of his life. And as he's dying, he meets Judas, who betrayed him all those years before. And in so many words, Judas said, I kept my part of the bargain. I betrayed you so that you could die for the sins of humanity, and you walked away. And he discovers that the angel that supposedly delivered him was Satan. Fortunately, it's just a vision that Jesus is having in the movie. It's a temptation. Have you ever been tempted to do something other than what you did? On your way to work in the morning, did you ever get tempted to just stop at the park and forget the day? Well, Jesus had an opportunity to stop this and get off the cross that was tempting him in the mind. That's why they call the film The Last Temptation of Christ. He didn't fall through with that. He didn't follow through with that temptation. It was there for him, but he realized, this is not my purpose. My purpose is to die for the sins of humanity. My purpose is to keep my end of the bargain. And so he made that choice. And in the movie, he dies on the cross for the sins of humanity. So I don't know what Christians were so all fired and upset about back then. I guess they always just need a reason to be angry about something. I mean, scriptures tell us that Jesus was tempted just like all of us were, and he must have been tempted to not go through with this. And in the garden, we see evidence of that, and yet he made that choice. And so now he is not just a guy who lived a good life, a guy who said some great teachings. He's not somebody with some good moral lessons for all of us. He is somebody who is the Savior of the world. And that's why when they called him Hosanna, when they cried out, save, to him, they were being accurate. Because that's who he is, Savior of the world. You're going to have lots more choices between now and the end of your life, and so am I. And I think it's very rare when we are asked to die for others. I hope that God never gives you that choice, but you will have choices nonetheless. I hope that when the choices come, that we'll be like Maximilian Kolbe and be willing to do it God's way. Moreover, to be like Jesus. And when Jesus is called to do something, he would listen to that still, small voice of his Father and follow.